Master Sergeant Roth fit Kai's model for Mackenzie much better than the callow lieutenant. Kai noticed that he and Martin looked each other over and came to some apparently favorable mutual conclusion. Roth brought with him a variety of Mackenzie contracts.
Captain, glad to meet you. Heard from our people at Sabine you did a fine job coping with those pirates.
Not much choice, Master Sergeant. Your lieutenant tells me you're in a real bind here.
The look on Roth's face was eloquent. Kai remembered it well from McRobert.
The lieutenant is, not too experienced.
Your OIC had a medical emergency?
He told you that? He doesn't... Sorry, ma'am, but, he shouldn't have.
Well, let's see what you have. We both seem to have a situation that would benefit from cooperation.
Thing is, we can't get through to our headquarters. We aren't sure that the local Ansible manager is being straight with us.
He's not.
You know that?
I have sources.
Your own G2?
You could put it that way. We know he's not straight, but we haven't defined how bad it is.
Hmm. So, what are your mission parameters?
My mission priorities are what you'd expect. Survive. Find other surviving Vadas and protect them. Find out who's doing this and how, and intervene.
Makes sense to me, Captain. You seem to have the intelligence. We have the muscle. What would your strategy be if we were partners in this?
Unblock Lastway's Ansibles first, then work out from there. Collect a surcharge from other users to bankroll the project that far. If we're out in space, we're harder to find. If we unblock communications, it'll be easier to figure out who's blocking them. Once the financial Ansibles start coming online, trade should resume, including bank transfers, which will make everyone's life easier, including yours.
So you'd like us to do what?
Be the muscle you are. This ship is old, slow, unshielded, unarmed. I'd rather spend money hiring you than trying to turn it into a warship. But I don't have much. As you may have heard, most accounts are frozen, not just yours. We have the money we made in trade selling the cargo we had when we came.
Ma'am, if you can provision us, I believe the old man would not be displeased at a contract that put us back in contact with our people.
I believe I can do that, Master Sergeant. But what about your lieutenant? Will he sign off on this?
I certainly hope so. Our ship captains aren't directly in his chain of command, but they'll lean on him.
Another thing, I've had a subcontract under Mackenzie, but I've never been the contract holder. Who calls the shots in something like this? You, your OIC, the ship captains?
Employer defines a mission, but has no direct command of Mackenzie personnel. Ship captains command ship crew in space. Troop commanders command troops, but under the captains in space, and independently otherwise. In something like this, I'd advise stationing a Mackenzie NCO as liaison aboard your ship, and your communications would be through him or her. Would you anticipate any actions, either on the station or groundside?
Possibly station, not groundside. I would, however, like the option of direct consultation with your ship captains, captain to captain, should anything come up in space. If they're protecting my ship, they may need to give me data quickly.
Oh, that's fine. It's just that you can't tell them what to do, other than to carry out the mission you assigned in the first place.
Then let's get it nailed down, get your lieutenant to sign off on it, and I'll contact the banks to release funds. I presume you'd rather provision yourself than have Civ do it.
Yes, ma'am. That would be ideal. Our immediate need is for rations, if the captain will take my advice. Release just enough for, say, 3 days' rations for 100 troops. Then your liaison can contact the ship captains and find out their needs. That would come to...
He looked blank a moment.
Just under 5,000 credits.
Fine.
There are just a couple more things. I'm sure it's not a problem. You had a contract with us before. I know your record. But it's something I have to say. Since you're the primary contractor here, please don't take offense.
All right.
Are you now or have you ever been engaged in slave trading?
No!
Sorry, ma'am, I'm required to ask. It's regulations. Are you now, or have you ever been engaged in transporting goods you knew to be stolen?
No.
Are you now, or have you ever been engaged in piracy?
No.
Are you now, or have you ever been in possession of a letter of marque issued to you by a planetary or system government?
I do have one, from Slaughter Key. It was waiting when I got here, but...
You didn't have it at Sabine, did you?
No, I just said...
Because that would screw everything, ma'am. You're a privateer?
No, I'm not. I didn't ask for it. It was here when I got here, and I'm not sure it's valid anyway, because the government...
Ma'am, I'm sorry, but this is a serious problem. I'm going to have to call Captain Penzig.
Can you explain?
We don't do contracts with privateers. Legal problems. It's against regs. There have been a few cases, but you say you haven't used it?
No, I haven't used it. It was here when I got here, and I've been sitting in dock.
That's something. The thing is, ma'am, the term is possession of a letter of marque, not proof that you've operated using it. Can you prove that you didn't have it before you arrived here?
I've got the delivery receipt somewhere.
I'll just go back to dockside and call Captain Penzig.
Kai started to ask why he wasn't calling Lieutenant Mason, but refrained. She didn't want to deal with Mason anyway. She hoped someone would straighten out the legal angles. It would be the worst sort of irony if a letter of marque that Slaughter Key undoubtedly didn't want her to have kept her from getting the help she needed now. She didn't have to wait very long.
Captain, you've got another call from Captain Penzig.
Penzig looked grim.
So, Roth tells me you weren't a privateer at Sabine, but now you are. Was that some kind of reward from the Slaughter Key government?
No. This is what happened.
Kylara went over it all again.
So I don't even know if the letter is valid now. There's no way to contact them. The Ansibles are down.
The problem is, Captain Vada, that under the law relating to privateering, possession of a valid letter is construed as sufficient proof that the holder is in fact a privateer.
Kai hadn't known that.
And we don't contract with privateers, since that blurs the lines of responsibility should anyone question the legality of proceedings.
I'm not following that.
I could explain it, but better if our legal staff did. Look here, Captain. We're both in a cleft stick. You need our protection, we need your money. I believe you when you say you have not committed any acts based on the authority of that letter. Under these circumstances, I think a limited contract might be possible. But you would have to agree not to use that letter of marque while we're in contract. And I must warn you that the contract will likely be rescinded as soon as we're back in contact with our headquarters. As you say, the letter itself may be rescinded. Is that acceptable?
Yes, that's acceptable.
For our own protection, I'll have to have that clause added to the contract. I'll have our legal staff transmit the changes. Any other surprises?
Not that I know of.
Shortly after that, Master Sergeant Roth reappeared with a revised contract. Kai signed it, and Roth transmitted the details of the contract, the Mackenzie Station, and the ship captains. The lieutenant, predictably enough, thought the Mackenzie contingent should get more money, but within the hour, they had an agreement. Kai called the bank and had 5,000 credits transferred to the Mackenzie account.
The men will be pleased with this. They were not looking forward to survival rations or being put in cold storage.
Kai had not realized that last was a possibility. Frozen soldiers? She repressed a shudder.
One favor. Could you find me someone other than the lieutenant for a liaison?
Yes, ma'am. I think we can do that.
Kylara was finally getting somewhere. Whoever was attacking Vada, it wasn't her fault for having killed Payson at Sabine. Stella's contribution increased their resources considerably, and hiring the Mackenzie local force at least ensured that they were on her side and couldn't be hired against her. That had to help with her first priority, survival. Rafe? She wasn't sure of Rafe. But factions within ISC causing the breakdown in Ansible communication made a certain sort of sense. It had already been a long, long day.
Perhaps a nap.
Yes, the captain's on the bridge. Just a moment. It's Captain Penzig again.
No rest for the wicked was the ancient expression, but it seemed to apply to the virtuous just as well. Kai sat up in her command chair and flicked on the screen.
Now that you've hired us, what exactly do you want us to do? I assume not sit here like a target for your enemies and eat up all your credits.
No.
We need a situation report as soon as possible. Our intelligence considers the threat level to Vada ships and personnel extremely high.
Too high to come aboard for a conference?
Kai took the opportunity to interrupt what looked to be a lengthy harangue.
No. When?
At your earliest convenience.
Kai hoped that would at least be enough time to eat something. If not, she had no idea when she could feed them, or what courtesies mercenary ship captains expected from employers.
Half an hour, then. Expect three of us. Myself, Captain Garner's exec, we can't both leave our ships, and Master Sergeant Dolan. Oh, and an escort, of course, but they'll remain in your docking area.
Fine, I'll expect you then. Drat, drat, drat.
She was hungry, she was tired, she was not in the mood for a strategy conference right now. But they were coming, and she was the host. They'd been eating station-side food, as Kai had been saving space for shields or weaponry, so she called down and told Quincy to organize some refreshments for the coming conference.
Fresh nibbling stuff, nothing that needs cooking. At least two wearing protection, one of them armed. And make it quick. They're coming in a half hour, and I want to get cleaned up. And don't let that miserable puppy get loose.
Right, Captain. The pup's all right. In his way.
He's in everyone's way.
Stella, in Kai's cabin, was deep into computation. Kai hoped it was their financial status being brought up to date.
I'm showering. We have company coming.
Who?
Our new employees. Strategy conference. You'll want to be there. Martin, too. Let him know.
Then she was into the shower, twisting the knob for a hard, pulsing spray. She toweled off quickly, pulled on her bathrobe, and went back into her cabin. Stella turned around from the desk.
That was fast.
Fast showers are a specialty at the Academy.
Kai yanked underwear out of a drawer. Vata dress blue, she decided, dressing in one swift flow of movement while Stella stared.
Kai, it takes me that long to get my clothes off the hanger, even if I know what I'm going to wear.
Kai buttoned the jacket.
So?
I'm impressed, that's all. Why do you want me at this conference? I don't have any background in strategy.
There are three of them and one of me. Yes, I'm the employer, but I still want better numbers.
All right. Will these clothes do?
Yes. You're businesslike. You may not need to say much.
In other words, shut up and let you handle it?
No. But I'm introducing you as a source of information and also as my financial officer. Vata's financial officer. You can look grave when money is mentioned.
Grave concern.
Stella's face settled into exactly such an expression.
Excellent. Martin represents something they understand. He's so obviously ex-military. We have 5 minutes. Let's go set up the space.
Quincy had sent Toby and Nihar up to straighten the wreck area. Kai had them go into the galley and lay out some platters and plates in readiness.
You invited them for dinner?
No, but I suspect employers are expected to offer refreshment. And since we're already feeding their troops, I might as well feed these officers. The food should be arriving shortly.
The officers arrived first with their escort. Kai welcomed them aboard and led them to the wreck area. Pensig she had seen on screen. In person, he was half a head taller than she was. She could feel her spine stretching in response. The exec off the other ship was a stocky balding man about her own height with bright blue eyes. The enlisted man with hash marks up his sleeve was, she assumed, Master Sergeant Dolan. He looked as if someone had hacked him roughly out of cast iron. He gave her an appraising look, and then a slight, sharp nod.
Please be seated. Refreshments are on the way.
Kai hoped they were. She had expected them by now. The dock area's grocers weren't that far away.
Thank you. This is Lieutenant Commander Johansson, Captain Garner's exec, and Master Sergeant Dolan.
Captain Pensig looked at Stella.
And this is Stella Vata.
Kai ignored Stella's married name, wanting the implied heft of the Vata name.
She is my senior intelligence officer, as well as acting CFO for Vata family interests off Slaughter Key. And this is Gordon Martin, who's in charge of our security measures.
Do you have any other Vata family members aboard?
Yes, a survivor of the attack on a Vata ship on Allray. But Toby's a little junior for this conference.
I see. Master Sergeant Roth explained that you would prefer another liaison than Lieutenant Mason. That made it necessary for myself, as senior ship captain, to contact you. Would you care to explain your objection to Lieutenant Mason?
Kai could not tell from his tone if he was displeased by it or not.
Lieutenant Mason told me he had no combat experience. While I have no doubt that the training he received was thorough, I would prefer to deal with individuals who have actually seen action.
Ah, he told you.
Yes, how else would I have known?
I see. So, hiring mercenaries, you expect and demand experience. That makes sense. Do you perceive your need as including ships as well as ground troops?
Yes.
Very well. I realize that our command structure is unfamiliar to you, but if you define the mission you assign to us as including ships for more than mere transport, then I, as senior ship captain, become the ranking officer, and I may appoint anyone I choose as customer's liaison. You have not asked, but I will tell you that my combat experience is extensive. You are welcome to peruse my file.
Pensig handed over a data cube.
I'll take you at your word.
Kai hoped that was the right response. His smile broadened. Apparently it was.
Well then, I think Master Sergeant Dolan will do you very well for on-station or on-planet liaison. And once we're beyond the first stages of planning, Lieutenant Commander Johansson will be your fleet liaison. Will that suit?
Perfectly.
Kai had no doubt of Johansson's combat experience. He had the look.
As I understand it, you have defined our mission in terms of protection of yourself and any family members, discovery of the source of the attacks, and counterattack against this organization. Is that correct?
That is my mission. My resources may not extend to obtaining your assistance in all of it.
Understood. But first and foremost is your safety and security, and that of your family members whose locations we know. Three, isn't it? I would advise you most strongly, Captain Vada, to depart this station immediately. We are more able to protect you in space than here, where I understand you and your crew have already been subject to attack. We cannot move our docking slots to cover your flanks, for instance. There are other ships already docked there. However good your dockside security, there is no way to protect you against attack using the exterior of the station.
I see. I had hoped the external monitors we have would be sufficient. You think not?
They were not at all, Way, where Toby's ship was blown up in dock. I was told it was with mines placed on the ship from outside, probably by agents using the maintenance hoppers. And I know Ellis Fabry had external monitors. All that class did.
Well then, we'd better take advice. But I have a few questions, Captain Pensig. I had been waiting to complete resupply in anticipation of installing a defensive suite and possibly some weapons. They're on hold at Milmart. What is your advice there?
If you can afford better shielding and have it delivered within a few hours and install it yourself, fine. Otherwise, my advice would be to load and go as quickly as possible. I can offer crew assistance in that if it will speed you.
Stella, contact Milmart for me and get a delivery estimate on the defensive suite. I know Quincy can install it en route. Then tell Aline to order in supplies. Leave just enough room for the defensive suite if Milmart can deliver it dockside in 2 hours or less. And while you're at it, check on whoever Quincy sent out for supplies. They should be back by now.
Stella nodded and left the room.
You have someone overdue?
Yes, a pair of them. Damn it, they were only going as far as the grocer's down the way.
With permission, sir, I'll check on that.
Pensig crooked an eyebrow at Kai, and she nodded. They had the resources, and for the moment, it was hers.
Names?
Just a moment.
Kai went to the comm unit.
Quincy!
Yes, Captain?
Who'd you send out for food, and have you had any word?
They aren't back yet. Jim and Mihar. They weren't going far. I told them to get whatever was available at Farm Boys just down the way.
Stella's going to ask you the same questions in a minute. Mackenzie personnel are going to go looking for them.
Kai gave the names, descriptions, and destination to Dolan. She had a sick feeling in her stomach. Dolan nodded and left the room. Before Kai could say anything, Stella came back.
Milmart says they can't deliver for at least 6 hours, but it's available now. Want me to find a delivery service?
We'll take care of that, if you'll authorize our pickup. They do know us.
Will do.
I notice you don't have an implant. You haven't replaced the one damaged at Sabine?
Your surgeon advised me to wait 6 months. Stabilization of neural repair or something like that.
Had it checked?
Haven't stopped. Life became interesting.
I see. Would you like one of our surgeons to evaluate?
Not at the moment, if we're kicking out of here as fast as possible.
Kai wasn't at all sure she wanted a Mackenzie surgeon investigating her brain anyway.
Any seizure activity? Sensory abnormalities?
No, I'm fine. I think. Why?
Only that it would be simpler if you also had an implant. But you're right, this can wait. Collecting your defensive suite shouldn't. If you'll contact Milmart with authorization, I'll get a squad over there right away.
Excuse me, the secure lines are all on the bridge.
Kai left them there, taking deep breaths on the way to the bridge. She had not anticipated that events would move with such speed, and yet, if you hired military, you expected action. Or you should. She felt stupid and slow, and she hated that feeling. On the bridge, she opened one of the secure lines to the bank and authorized a draft to Milmart Exchange for the cost of the suite, and then spoke to Milmart, authorizing Mackenzie personnel to pick up the equipment.
So, you've hired Merks. Well, you hired good ones. When will they be picking it up?
Soon, within the hour, I should think. By the way, your policy statement states that you maintain customer privacy and discretion.
Oh, sure. Nobody wants anyone to know what they're buying or who for. Don't worry, Captain Vada. We've been doing this for years. Are you sure you don't want that weapon suite?
I'm sure. Kai wasn't at all sure she trusted that casual assurance of discretion, but she had no choice, really. Lee cocked an eye at her as she shut down the line.
Things moving, Captain?
Indeed, Lee. We'll be undocking today, soon as we can load up this defensive equipment and supplies. Start the ball rolling with the station about that. And I thought, once I got back to Belinta with that load of tractors, that everything was going to be simple and boring again.
Somehow I think you aren't cut out for boring, Captain.
Kai shook her head at him and went back to the wreck area. Here's the authorization number from Milmart. They're ready for pickup any time. The bank's released funds. And they promised discretion, for what that's worth.
Milmart's pretty good about it. They've made their reputations and their fortune by keeping their mouths shut. But they're big enough now that leaks could happen.
Pensig looked blankly into the distance for a few moments. Kai knew he was accessing his implant.
Well, that's taken care of. Now, how about a loading crew?
Good idea. I was just...
Captain?
That was Lee, poking his head in.
Rafe's on the line. He says he needs you.
Kai excused herself and headed for the bridge. Rafe, looking a bit rumpled, looked out of the screen at her.
We have a situation. Your crew are alive, but we're all being detained.
By whom?
The Garda. That idiot Jim got into some kind of row with someone. The beauteous Mihar backed him up, and there's a body in the produce department of farm boys and another in the bakery. And a blood trail out the back, which is what I noticed when I was on my way back here from another errand.
And no one called me?
They say they've tried twice and the line was busy. They're trying to take statements. I wanted to sit in, they wouldn't let me. I'm not listed as a ship officer. But they remember Jim from a previous encounter. What is that boy? Some kind of explosive device in human form?
So what is the situation now, do you know?
I know they're being detained, and from the look on the desk sergeant's face, Jim won't be seeing anything but a lockup for a while. Mihar has those wide eyes. They think she was lured into trouble by a bad boy and is too young to have good judgment. But it would help if you could show up with some legal aid. At least they let me call you.
I'll be there. Kai met Captain Pensig in the passage. He looked grim.
Master Sergeant Dolan just reported.
I heard. Some kind of dust-up in the grocery, and my people are in custody. I have to get over there.
Not without an escort. And if you don't mind, I'd like to come along. Getting my people out of trouble with local law enforcement is something I've done too often before. Do you have a local attorney?
Not really. I took advice on the disposal of cargo originally consigned to Leonora, but that was purely commercial.
I have Joe send someone along.
Again, that blank look. Kai ducked into her cabin for her formal captain's cape. No use trying for anonymity in this situation, and hurried down to the dock. She couldn't take Martin along. He needed to be dockside to receive and load the cargo coming in. He looked grim as she told him what she knew, but nodded when she said the Mackenzie squad would go with her. Kai felt marginally safer surrounded by them, but still scared. She was sure that a gifted assassin could find some way to kill her anyway. The section Garda station was some distance away. Outside it, two men in uniform stood guard, scowling as the group came toward them.
You can't go in there like that. What are you up to?
Keeping Captain Vada alive. Since the station refused to give her any protection and she's already been attacked, she hired professionals.
Pensig and the guards glared at each other. Excuse me, but I believe my crew members need me. Kai stepped forward. The guard said nothing as she led the way in. Inside, Rafe lounged against the wall, straightening when he saw her. His expression remained ironic. Kai nodded at him without speaking and went to the desk.
I'm Captain Vada. I understand you have been trying to reach me.
Couldn't get through. You brought them!
It seemed wise. Since my crew and I have been attacked on station before and the Garda have refused to give us protection...
You have too many enemies. And so you hired Mertz.
It's not illegal. I would like to see my crew members, please, and find out what the problem seems to be.
Problem is, that murdering ruffian you have in your crew just killed another two people.
I do not have murdering ruffians in my crew. If by another you're referring to the man I shot, that has already been adjudicated as self-defense. And the dead man was part of the gang that attacked me.
Three of you people have killed someone on this station. I'd call that serious cause for concern. Most people make it through a lifetime without killing anyone.
Most people aren't attacked repeatedly by someone trying to kill them. Self-defense isn't murder.
There was no attack. He shot a poor old lady who's lived in the neighborhood for 40 years, thereabouts.
Kai's heart sank. Captain Pensig peered at the ceiling as if he found it interesting.
I suppose you've done the forensic matching already.
Well, no, but there's no need. Nobody but him and that girl had any weapons, and she only had that pistol bowl.
And the second body?
Dock worker. Only been here a month, but nothing against him.
And the third? Found the owner of the bloody footsteps yet?
I told you before, there was no bloody trail when we looked. If you're one of this lot, I'm not surprised you lied about it.
I think I'd better speak to your shift supervisor.
He's busy. Busy with that crew of yours. You can wait until he's free.
His gaze went past Kai to the door. She turned to look. A lean man in Mackenzie uniform with a lock case strode in. The escort moved smoothly aside and closed in after him.
Captain Pensig, I got here as fast as I could.
Thank you, Major. Captain Vada, this is Major Grawn, our legal affairs officer.
What seems to be the problem here?
The problem is this Vada crewman's been in trouble over and over since she docked. One thing after another. Illegal biologicals, and now he's killed at least two people.
Is alleged to have killed two people. I believe this station operates under the general code, does it not?
Well, yes, but, well, things are a little different out here.
Either you operate under the general code or you don't. Which is it?
Well, the general code, mostly.
And that means that accused persons have the right to legal representation, including during interrogation. Isn't that right?
The clerk reached for a button on his desk.
I'll have to check.
Go ahead. I'm sure you'll find that's the case, and when your officer in charge confirms that, tell him that legal representation is here.
But you're military, and the the accused, is Sib. A crewman.
She's retained our assistance. Her legal problems are our legal problems.
Yeah.
This is McNabb at the front desk. Apparently the murder suspect now has legal representation. What do you want me to do?
Well, I guess you better send him back.
All right, you can go back. She can't, nor any of the rest of you.
A ship captain is held legally responsible for crew behavior and damages to a station under the general code. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Then Captain Vada is also a party to the accusations and has a legal right and duty under the code to ensure that her crew are being treated appropriately and to have access to all pertinent information. She's coming with me.
All right. But nobody else.
No one else. After you, Captain.
The desk sergeant led them past a large office and two smaller ones. The corridor turned left, and Kai saw two doors, each with an armed guard outside. One opened as she approached, and a short, stout man in a business suit looked out.
If it isn't Major Grawn.
Inspector Filgrim. How nice.
The last time you were here, that was a mess.
But not our mess, so I am in hope it is not our mess this time.
Only if you make it yours, which I hear you have. Frankly, were I you, I'd have been a little more wary of taking employment from a Vata.
Oh? What do you have against Vatas?
They have enemies. People don't have enemies all over the galaxy for no reason. Probably been up to something for years and finally got found out.
Until recently, have you had any complaints against Vata ships or crews?
Well, no. But that's just because we didn't realize...
Or because Vata's enemies have nothing to do with Vata's wrongdoing, and are entirely self-motivated.
Everyone's guilty of something. Never met a Civ who wouldn't lie.
Or a law officer, either. Enough. You're interrogating members of Captain Vada's crew without legal representation present. I am now here. I will be present for one, and Captain Vada for the other.
That's...
By the code. You have a male and a female in custody, right? I'll sit in with the male, and Captain Vada clearly should sit in with the female.
Filgrim looked as if he'd bitten into a sour fruit, but nodded and opened the door wider. Kai got a glimpse of Jim, with a blackening eye and hunched shoulders, at a table inside. Then Filgrim nodded to the next door.
The girl's in there. I haven't gotten to her yet. You can go in.
Grawn nodded at Kai, and she went into the next room. Mihar sat at another table, watched over by two guards.
Are you all right, Mihar?
Yes, Captain. I'm sorry.
We have legal assistance now. Major Grawn from the Mackenzie Military Assistance Corporation. You will have a representative while you're being interrogated.
I don't know how it happened. We just picked up some fruit and we came around the end of the radiated display.
You should wait until Major Grawn gets here.
I'm really more interested in how you are.
I wasn't hurt. Jim fell down when the display was hit and fell on him.
Display?
Yes, they had a tower of cans and something hit it, probably a solid slug, and it fell. Jim was right beside it and the cans landed on him. I was far enough back so I ducked and then I heard the shots.
I'm surprised they missed Jim if he was down and in plain sight.
Whoever it was just shot at everything. The lights above me shattered, I heard a lot of people screaming and things breaking and falling.
And you?
I hit the deck, Captain. I didn't see anyone shooting at me, so I just laid there. Then the Garda came. They said we shot some people, but it wasn't us.
Did you see anyone?
There were people in the store when we got there. Just people. I didn't really notice them, except for one of those quad humods. I think it was a he. Didn't need a basket. I watched him pick up plums and apricots and apples all at the same time and use the fourth hand to twist the bag ties. We were supposed to hurry, Quincy'd said, so we just picked out the fruit and went on.
Ah, Captain Vada, this is Mihar Mahar.
Right, Kai glanced at Mihar. This is Major Gron of Mackenzie. He's their legal officer.
Major Gron came in and sat down. Filgrim followed, looking even more sour than before.
Mihar, have you given a statement?
I tried, sir.
That's my job.
Well then, get to it. But try sticking to evidence this time.
All right, Ms. Mihar. What's your version of this?
Mihar, with nervous glances at Kai and Filgrim, told how she and Jim had been sent to buy refreshments and gone to the nearest grocer's, where the trouble landed on them.
Why did you start shooting at everything?
Inspector, you're making rash assumptions. Did you fire your weapon, Mihar? Did Jim?
No, sir. I tried to tell them that.
Did you see who was shooting?
No, sir. I never saw anyone with a weapon, but things were crashing down, the lights blinking, and people screaming.
You never shot anyone? Which gun was yours?
Gun, sir? I didn't have one. I had the pistol bow, but no bolts loaded. There in that belt they took off of me when they brought us in. Jim had a gun, but he didn't have time to get it out before stuff fell on him.
Mihar looked at Kai.
I tried to tell them he hadn't fired, but they didn't listen to me.
Two people are dead, Mihar. They had to consider that.
I assume the store had a vid scan going. Have you reviewed it? Or checked the weapons for discharge?
No.
Well, that seems to be a good first step. Not that I'm trying to teach you your business, but Captain Vada was on the point of departure, and I believe had already signed on the departure queue. If these people are not guilty, then here's a way to establish that quickly.
Filgrim scowled, but agreed to review the store's vid scan with them. There on the screen, both vidscans played in synchrony. The left aisle and part of the middle, the right aisle and the rest of the middle. Jim and Mihar heading down the left, pausing to pick up fruit from this bin and that, then turning, coming up the middle aisle as if to head toward the bakery.
You see? They were on the far side of this set of display racks when it started, and the old woman went down.
They could have...
There are muzzle flashes back there.
Filgrim boosted the IR sensitivity, and the flashes shone bright, well away from Mihar and Jim.
They've got chameleon gear on. Look at those blurry places.
Filgrim ran the scan backward, and then forward again. Now it was clear that four customers entering just after Jim and Mihar had suddenly blurred. The blurs moving swiftly past those two to set up across the far end of the store.
So it wasn't them at all.
I suppose not.
They were waiting for your crew members, Captain Vada, for anyone coming out of your ship. Whether to kill them or simply cause you trouble, I don't know. But the sooner you get off station, the better.
Not without my crew.
I can release them, if you're really going. This may not be your fault exactly, but your presence certainly has caused trouble.
We're going. Though I don't like being blamed for something I didn't start.
We have an escort to take Captain Vada and her crew back to the ship safely, so we will not need to call on your forces.
I don't have any spare men anyway.
Filgrim waved his hand.
Fine, then. Go. All you ever bring is trouble anyway, you traitors.
Kai opened her mouth to say something, but Gron shook his head at her, and she nodded instead.
I hope you have no more trouble.
Nothing disturbed their passage to the dock. Kai arrived just as the defensive suite was being delivered by Mackenzie personnel.
Jim, go let the med box check you out. Mihar, stand by for the moment.
Jim, walking a little unsteadily, wandered up the access and into the ship, following the squad with the cartons and lifter. Lieutenant Commander Johansson stepped over from where he had been supervising the Mackenzie troops.
Any other supplies to come aboard?
Kai looked at the status board just inside the docking tube.
No, we could squeeze on another 5 days' rations, but that's about it. We'll undock within the hour. Is that fast enough?
I hope so. Our people report unusual external activity. Repair bugs, that kind of thing. Not right here, but enough of them that traffic control is expressing annoyance. I'd like you a solid 10 kilometers off station.
Kai tapped her handcom.
Quincy, how soon can we undock?
Without blowing the seal? We've got a place in the queue in 58 minutes with the tug Missy May. In-systems ready to warm up. Station seemed glad to have us going.
There's a concern. Ask station if anyone else is in our way if we're a little quicker. I'm on my way to the bridge. Bring the in-system drive to standby.
Kai turned to Johansson.
I'll see what I can do. Our slot is 57 minutes.
Right. We'll get out of your way, but watch the area.
Johansson signaled to the Mackenzie NCO in charge of the loading group. The squad that had delivered the packages came out the hatch on the double. Kai looked at Martin, who was standing nearby.
Let's start buttoning up, then.
Yes, Captain.
On her way to the bridge, Kai felt her skin tightening. She could imagine one or more of the little one-person repair scooters easing up to the hull, planting mines. Her ears registered the pressure fluctuation as the hatch sealed. She passed the med box alcove. Jim sat hunched over the diagnostic module, holding something to his face that she hoped would take care of his black eyes. Stella, in the galley, turned. Kai shook her head and went on to the bridge. Lee was talking to the station. The face in the display had a sour look.
We're small. We've undocked without a tug before.
And we've had ships undock without a tug that put us at risk with reaction.
You won't feel a thing.
That's what they all say. Just a little squirt, that's all. And we end up having to expend fuel to counter the rotational effect.
Well, if the tug can hurry it up...
They can't. There's a traffic jam up on Ring 5. Some idiot kids decided to hold some kind of rally and repair scooters. Tug would have to risk collisions to come now. I don't see why you can't wait.
Icy tingles ran down Kai's spine. Someone wanted them delayed, still on station when something went wrong.
Captain Vada here. We have received a credible threat involving those same repair scooters. What's current traffic status on this ring?
There are a couple of non-scheduled scooters, probably just those kids, coming around Dock 4B.
A sector away. Kai wondered what the maximum acceleration was on those scooters. The only external scans she had were focal scans of a few hull locations, not wide area.
Sorry, we're departing now. We believe that those scooters may intend to plant mines on our hull.
But they're just kids.
Maybe. Shut down all external access, Lee. We're shutting off externals. We'll be pulling out as soon as the boards go green. Slowly, I promise.
You, Vada. If it weren't for you...
I didn't start this.
Air's clear, water's clear, external comms clear.
Close curtain.
Unlike their emergency undock from Sabine Prime, Kai was not going to cause any more damage than she could help. The ship, external attachments retracted, lay in the docking bay with no more physical connection to the station.
Confirm curtain sealed. Formal clearance.
Take us out, Lee.
Maneuvering.
The deck didn't so much as quiver, but the instruments showed their relative motion. Kai said nothing. Again, unlike their earlier emergency undock, they weren't using the in-system drive, but the less powerful attitude controls. Kai switched on near-scan as soon as the nodes had cleared the station's blanketing structure.
There they are!
Two tiny dots, just showing around the curve of the station. Their projected course took them directly to what had been Gary Tobias' docking bay. As she watched, they angled outward.
We're not clear yet, Captain.
Lee's fingers twitched on the controls, 1 meter per second, and the acceleration was only 1/100th meter per.
In-system!
In-system hot.
We're too close. We could give him a wobble.
We'll give him worse than that if we blow up this close. I want the drive up. We'll engage as late as we can, but no later.
The tiny dots crawled nearer. They couldn't go far, but they were faster than the ship.
Minimum coming up.
Rotate the ship parallel to the entire station axis. We'll do less damage that way.
That took precious seconds, and the two tiny craft were within what Kai considered throwing distance.
Engage 1/4 power.
Gary Tobias' rotation and the shove of the in-system drive sent them off at a solid 10 meters per second acceleration. In the scan, the two dots crossed paths and curled around, trying to chase them, but they'd already opened a distance. Repair scooters, Kai knew, couldn't top a 10 meters per acceleration and quickly used up fuel at that rate. One of them, though, closed distance.
You're being pursued.
I noticed. Half power, Quincy.
The ship opened the gap again.
Something flashed in the scan behind them. The first dot vanished, and the second boosted back toward the station. You might want to intercept that one. You might learn something to your advantage.
Right.
Where do you want to go?
Right now, I just want enough distance to be safe. Maybe 10 kilometers.
Gloucester to Gary Tabai.
Gary Tabai.
The screen flicked twice, then steadied on Captain Pensig's face.
Our scans report an explosion near your position. Any damage?
No, we're fine.
We recommend you continue on present course for 6 hours, Captain Vada.
But wait. 6 hours, right.
We'll be in touch on a secured link, Captain. Gloucester will cover your retreat. Scapa Flow will remain on station for the present.
On her near scans, the Mackenzie ship's trace edged out, carefully staying between them and the station.
Station's not mad at us. Who do they think might take a pot shot?
There's a lot of spare armament. Someone else could have made a critical purchase from Milmart, after all.
So we're not really safe until we clear the system, is that it?
Kai thought about pointing out that they weren't going to be safe anywhere, and decided against it.
Well, the farther away we are, the safer. It takes a lot of power to run one of the big beam weapons. Missiles, though. We'd better get our defensive suite up and running.
Kai turned to Quincy.
How's the installation coming?
Installation? I just got the last carton unclipped before we had to light out of there.
Well, chances are we'll need it now or we won't need it at all.
I am definitely retiring after this trip, Kai. Captain, I'm too old for this. I'm supposed to fit those things in 1 meter intervals. Do you have any idea how much climbing that involves?
Toby's young and agile, so is Jim. Martin probably knows how to install that kind of thing. And maybe Rafe can help.
Rafe? You trust him with our defenses?
We need the suite installed and running, Quincy, whatever it takes.
Right.
Quincy left the bridge. Kai sat back, fingers drumming on the arm of her seat. They were alive, by the margin of a few seconds. They were back in space, where spacers belonged, and she had an ally now. Maybe more than one if Rafe had been honest about his family name. She thought he was. But, alone, with 2 Mackenzie ships and a hole in the bottom of the budget. So they had provisions, but troops ate provisions as locusts ate grain fields. She would have to have money at the next place they stopped. She needed to spread the cost of all this.
Kai, have you eaten?
Stella, sandwich in hand, peered around the entrance to the bridge.
Since when?
That's an answer of sorts. I've made sandwiches. Have one.
Stella handed in a plate piled with neatly cut triangles. Kai had not suspected Stella of any domestic skills.
You cook?
Sandwiches aren't cooking, and I told you I could scramble eggs. I'll just send some down to the others.
Good idea.
Now that they were, well, not safe, but definitely safer, she was hungry. That snack intended for the visiting officers had never been delivered. She put the plate between herself and Lee. Both of them ate in silence for several minutes. Then Lee looked at her.
You think we'll be attacked now?
Kai put down the sandwich she was eating.
I hope not. It's all happened so fast. At least we have help this time. We can actually do something.
Lee picked up another triangle of sandwich.
You have a plan, then?
I will soon. Actually, I have a plan now, and we're succeeding in the first objective, which is staying alive, with mobility unimpaired.
And next?
Find and aid any family members we can before they're all killed. Figure out who's doing this and how to strike back. Same as I said in the first place.
And you trust the Mercs?
They hold to contracts the same as we do. What happened last time wasn't their fault, and we were paid well for our trouble.
Lee chewed a moment in silence, then swallowed.
Yes, but is there any chance we'll get back to regular trading?
I don't know. Nobody's going to be doing regular trading as long as the Ansibles are down. If that's taken care of, and as long as our enemies aren't attacking us directly, we ought to be able to go back. It won't be the same, of course, with all the damage Vada's sustained. We'll have to rebuild the business.
Even as Kai said it, she wondered if it could be done at all. It had taken generations to build Vada from that first ship to the shipping empire it had become. She cocked her head at Lee.
Why? Are you ready to go find another ship? Is adventure looking less attractive than a few days ago?
No, Captain, I'm just considering the ironies.
The ironies?
Yes. Your father picked me as junior pilot to Riel, as you know, on the basis of my safety record. My reputation in the trade was as a solid, serious young pilot with no wild tendencies. He didn't know, because it would have done my application no good, that I had always wanted something more exciting than piloting a trader. But when my parents were killed, I needed to find a job quickly, and I was a year too young to qualify for military training. I thought it was a tragedy at the time and was prepared to be miserably bored the next 50 or 60 years. I realized soon enough that even civilian piloting had some adventure in it, but it was still missing something.
You still crave adventure?
Even after seeing it up close, yes, Captain. If you decide not to go back to ordinary trading, don't worry about me quitting, is what I mean. If you want me, that is.
You're a good pilot, Lee. Of course I want you on the ship. Let's just not have too much adventure, all right?
It's your call, Captain.
Lee grinned and finished another sandwich. Kai was still thinking about the next step, and the five beyond that. She needed money. Traders got money by trading or by providing a service. They'd sold all they had to sell.
What service can I provide as the target of malicious attack? What resources do I have?
What she had to sell, Kai realized suddenly, was protection. As long as she had Mackenzie, she had something other traders might want.
Captain Vada, this is Lieutenant Commander Johansson.
Captain Vada here.
Our sources confirm destruction of one stolen repair bug, and the other has been taken into custody. I understand you may have some information on the Ansible problems?
Yes, we have an individual with considerable expertise in ISC internal affairs. At the moment, he's helping install the defensive suite we just loaded.
That takes precedence. But we'd like to talk to him.
I'll let him know. He's not actually part of my crew. We have a partnership agreement at the moment. He helped my cousins get off Alray in one piece. Another thing. If I'm reading our contract correctly, there's nothing to prevent your escorting a few more trading ships, is there?
In convoy, you mean? We'd usually have more ships for that, but you were thinking of spreading the cost?
Yes, of course, but also establishing the legitimacy of Vada Transport again. Right now, the other trader captains don't want to speak to me in case our problems are contagious. To get shipping contracts, we'd have to get some of that cleared off our reputation. If I can offer safe, or at least safer, transportation somewhere, anywhere, it should help.
Good point. We'd want to vet potential participants, though, and we'd be limited.
Make up a list of those you'd approve, and give me a target number. As word gets around last way about the attempt to blow us at the dock, captains should be getting nervous and anxious to leave. They may be more willing to listen to me now.
Will do, Captain Vada.
When he signed off, Kai went down to see how the installation was coming along. Quincy had the installation routine set up on the screen. All the telltales still read, pending.
We're working on it. It's a good thing the holds aren't stuffed with ag machinery. We have to have these sensor units in every ship space, just about. I've got Jim on that job. He's got good manual dexterity, at least.
Rafe?
With Jim, at the moment. I don't know how much help he is.
If he's not essential here, there's something else he can do. We need to deal with the Ansible problems.
Quincy gave her a sharp look.
You trust him that much?
He's the only one who might know what we need to know.
Kai considered telling Quincy all she knew, or thought she knew, about Rafe, and decided against it.
He and Stella worked together in the past.
That's a recommendation. I mean, Stella. Everyone knows about her.
Not really. Everyone knows she screwed up years ago, just as everyone knows I was kicked out of the Academy. A different kind of screw-up. Does that tell you all about me?
Well, no, but Stella...
grew out of it, Quincy. And she's the family I've got left. Vada stick together.
I suppose. It's a new world and I don't much like it.
None of us does. So we'll make a better one that we do like. That's what great-grandfather did and we can do it too.
I hope so. So much lost, so many dead.
Quincy... are you getting enough sleep? This doesn't sound like you.
I can't sleep, Kai. Not enough. I keep seeing Gary's face. Your father.
Nothing Kai had ever read discussed what captains were supposed to do when elderly crew came apart. She found herself cradling Quincy, holding her gently, until the old woman stiffened.
Role reversal. But it's reversible again.
I'm sorry. I'm supposed to be comforting you.
You'd known Gary longer than I had. Same with the other elders of the tribe. You've lost a lot of friends. I've lost a lot of acquaintances. Neither's easy.
Kai watched Quincy's face relax gradually as she kept talking, until finally she straightened up.
I'm all right now.
Good.
Let me know when Rafe's free, or if you need more help with this. I can use a socket wrench myself, you know.
I know. But captains have other things to do.
True enough. My next move is to spread the cost of our military assistance among the ships I hope will convoy with us to wherever we're going. When we figure that out.
That's a good idea. But do you think they'll come? What you said before...
Situation's changed. We were almost blown in dock. Others have to be feeling anxious. That's what I told Mackenzie, anyway. I'll bet some of the smaller independents will sign up.
Rafe ambled in from the far reaches of the number 3 hold.
Quincy, Jim says he's ready for the next set of attachment bins.
Ah, Rafe. Can Jim get along with Toby's help, do you think?
Easily. Why? Do you have something else for me to do?
Yes. Quincy, let me know when the installation's complete so I can let our escort know. Rafe, come with me, please.
They settled in the wreck area. Kai stepped into the galley, noting that Stella had left it spotless, and brought out a pitcher of water and 2 glasses. Rafe got up and came back with a lime and a small knife.
You were much on Stella's mind a few years past.
Rafe did not look at Kai directly, concentrating instead on taking the peel off a lime in 1 smooth, even curl. She had no idea why he wanted a peeled lime.
Oh?
Yes. She spoke of you quite a bit. Apparently, you were being held up as an example of a properly brought up young Vata daughter. Courteous, cool. Butter wouldn't melt in your mouth, is how she put it. Not at noon in midsummer. Straight arrow. Never makes mistakes.
Rafe glanced up.
You annoyed her quite a bit. Stuck up young prig, I believe, is what she called you. Born to be a military martinet, all rules and rigidity. Is that how you remember it?
He would be getting at something. But Kai couldn't yet tell what. She wasn't going to let him drive a wedge between her and Stella.
Not quite. I don't know who in the family was telling her that, but I was getting the lectures on how good girls didn't want to be spacers or soldiers. And what made me think I had the qualities necessary anyway? And why wouldn't I settle down with a nice boy from one of the other good families?
And why didn't you? You're good-looking enough. And Stella managed to find a boy she liked.
Who caused her a lot of grief. I heard about that. Besides, you ought to know about family ambitions. You went rogue, too.
Ah, palpable hit. So you claim that you went rogue by going military? Or was it by being kicked out that you went rogue? What did happen?
Nothing that concerns you.
Oh, but it might. Things like that last a while when you're young. It hasn't been even a year yet, has it? Seeing as you're the one in charge of this affair, I'd like to know how stable you are.
Stable enough. Stable enough not to worry about what you think of my stability.
He mimed, sucking a pricked finger.
Ouch. Sharp as a tack you are. Stella said that too. Don't you ever wonder what else she said?
Not really. Stella's probably said a lot of things, as I have, that she wouldn't say today. Makes no difference.
Maybe.
The last of the lime peel came free. Rafe arranged it back into the shape of a lime. The lime itself, held in his left hand, he dropped into his water.
Do they grow these where you come from, on Slaughter Key?
Limes? Yes, in the garden. We don't have a citrus orchard.
Tick, as I recall, is your family's main cash crop. Valuable. Mild euphoric and stimulant. Various fractions also useful in pharmaceutical manufacturing.
Yes.
Ever taken tick tea and added lime?
No.
Don't. Not a good idea. Chemical reactions make it taste bad and give a headache like being slugged with a rock.
He sipped his lime water, shook his head, and dropped in the peel.
The thing is, people are always mixing things they shouldn't mix. Limes and tick. Guns and butter. Morality and...
Not that lecture.
Stella had changed into a one-piece garment that looked like brown plush, and her gold hair shone against it.
Rafe, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
It's true.
It's trite. You peeled that lime for her, didn't you?
Stella grinned at Kai.
It's leading up to why you and he should get into bed together, even if it doesn't work out, because mixing unlikes is inevitable or something. The lime peel trick is supposed to demonstrate his manual dexterity and fascinate you with inchoate possibilities.
It worked with you.
Not really. I already wanted to try it. You almost put me off with the professorial bit. I admit being impressed by the lime peeling.
Kai looked at Stella.
I thought you said...
We weren't involved. I just slept with him and that was it.
Kai wondered if that was true. She could not imagine sleeping with someone and not being involved. Though she had been involved without the sleeping with. Rafe, meanwhile, had a stubborn expression that Kai did not want to see aimed at her.
You still...
I thought we were going to be discussing strategy. Isn't that right, Kai?
Right. Now that we have some military assets, we can start doing something.
Do we know enough?
We know enough to get started. If we wait until we know it all, we'll wait forever.
On this, she was confident. She saw surprise on Rafe's face, but Stella just nodded.
But I have a few questions for Rafe.
And what are those?
Does ISC know that some of its station managers are corrupted? Will there be repercussions from them if we remove one or two?
Remove as in?
Kill.
Rafe went still all over for a moment. Then one hand twitched.
There's not another quick way to get communications back up here. The station polity has no interest in listening to me. They aren't suffering. They think they're better off as they are. Other shippers are suffering, but they're scared to do anything. Any legal approach will take weeks to months, and he'll get away while doing more damage. We need him gone, out of his position permanently and quickly. That will give us some legitimacy in the eyes of the others.
Killing's a bit extreme, don't you think?
Not in this instance.
Kai. Kai, Vata's not ever been... that way.
Vata's not ever been at war. We didn't start it. I want Vata around at the end of it. So, Rafe, what do you think ISC's reaction will be?
Rafe folded his hands and gave Kai a steady look.
I think if there's sufficient evidence of his treachery, they will overlook an accidental death. At least in the sense of taking no reprisals against other Vata. I think they will be upset, however. It sets a bad precedent. ISC has never allowed anyone, government, commercial entity, whatever, to judge its people.
They didn't take care of it. It cost lives, is costing lives. My position is that I am doing what they would do, and they had best accept it.
You sound almost as if you're threatening ISC, Captain. If that is so, then I must remind you where my primary loyalty lies.
I hold your partnership agreement at present. If you forswear that...
I know that, but you're asking me, perhaps asking me, to breach an older trust.
I don't think so. As an ISC agent, however covert, you are being asked to consider whether this ISC employee is guilty.
Oh, he's guilty, all right, no doubt at all. Deep in the conspiracy, I have the evidence, too. I was on my way back to the ship with it when your people got in that trouble in the store.
Well then, what would ISC do, assuming they had the resources at hand?
He'd be dead. We do have an enforcement arm that is not subject to any governmental restrictions. So, do you want me to take him?
Rafe looked haggard now. Kai wondered at that.
Would you?
He stared back, his expression grim, and did not answer at once.
I expect you'd wait for orders from home. I expect you've had to do it, and don't like it.
Not much.
Then leave it to those who do. What I ask of you as the ISC representative is agreement that he is guilty, that there is sufficient evidence, and that a quick removal is in the best interests of...
Kai remembered too well in the best interests of the service.
Of ISC and its customers.
That I can do. I do not see a conflict between the partnership and my loyalty to ISC in making such a report.
Good.
Kai smiled, but neither of them smiled back. Stella looked as if someone had hit her in the stomach. Rafe simply continued to look grim.
I'll tell our liaison. They want to talk to you about the evidence.
It would be a good idea for me, for someone from ISC to have custody of it, and to give them authorization.
Do it. We might as well clean up the whole mess while we're about it. Lee can set up the secure line for you on the bridge.
You surprise me.
Rafe got up and left without saying anything more. Stella put out her hand as if to touch Kai's arm, then withdrew it.
Kai, I almost feel I don't know you. I mean, when you said leave it to those who do, you didn't mean yourself. Of course not. You mean the Mercs. I suppose they'd have to.
Kai's stomach tightened. On the one hand, Stella was her closest family member. she should tell Stella the truth. On the other, she could not face what she expected of Stella's reaction. Not right now, anyway. Later, maybe.
I'll need a complete assessment of our financial situation. I'm going to try to get a few other ships to sign on with us as a convoy under Mackenzie protection. We can spread the cost that way. But even so, we're going to have to be careful. That defensive suite wasn't cheap.
Right. And good idea about the convoy, Kai.
Thanks. It'll depend on how scared the remaining traders are about attacks in dock.
Kai made it to the bridge before Rafe was through talking to their liaison. He looked grim. Lieutenant Commander Johansson looked satisfied.
We'd like to have your agent aboard for this, as he has ISC authorization.
Rafe?
My value to you and ISC both is at least partly in my being known only as a ne'er-do-well. If I'm part of the hit...
I didn't mean part of the team. In fact, we'd rather not have you. We have enough unknowns in the equation already. But aboard ship here, in direct communication, ensuring that our people got the right, evidence.
Then only a shipload of your people would know who I am. And how many is that?
Do you really think... All right, I see your point. Even if they don't know your name, information could be stripped from them. Disguise?
Rafe gave Kai a strange look.
Could I pass as Vata, Captain?
The only Vatas declared aboard are me, Stella, and Toby. You'd have to have been... hiding out on Allway or something. Maybe a Vata ne'er-do-well? Old Uncle Jonas, ditched from the family for... I don't know.
Being a ne'er-do-well. It doesn't have to be specific, whether I got the second upstairs made pregnant with twins or embezzled to cover my gambling debts. Years ago, and no one knew it, I'd been erased from the family tree. Of course, that doesn't explain how I know what I know.
Bad boys don't explain.
You are entirely too knowing for a young sprig of Vata virtue, Captain. I begin to think you've spent some time in the back alleys of the universe yourself.
So, is that the story?
All right. I'll use the same cover name. I was suddenly recalled to a sense of family duty when the Vata ship blew up at Allway. Or Stella seduced me, whichever is more believable. And Captain Vata here put my nefarious skills to good use.
Coming aboard may be a problem. You know, maybe you don't, but we don't have a standard passenger lock, only the emergency.
At least the hatch would work smoothly now.
We'll send a pod. Do you need a suit as well?
I have a suit. I might just mention how much I hate wearing it.
You might get yourself into it and start checking it out.
Give some women command and they go... All right, I'm going.
Any progress on the convoy specs, Commander?
Yes. We can handle 4 ships, including yours. I'll transmit the list of those we think acceptable, ranked by our preference, which of course need not be yours. And there's a red list of ships we would not accept.
Fine. I'll start contacting captains at once.
Captain Soline Harper of My Bess looked just as forbidding as the first time Kai had talked to him, but at least he didn't cut off the contact the moment he saw her face.
You've probably heard we've hired Mackenzie for our next voyage.
I heard. 2 warships to a trader is pretty hefty protection, I think.
So it is. Would you be interested in convoy space?
Convoy?
Mackenzie assures me that they can protect 4 ships in fairly close convoy.
Where are you headed?
He wouldn't have asked that much if he hadn't wanted to come.
Haven't decided yet. Where were you bound?
Nowhere until I can be sure of communications. But I'm eating up profit sitting here.
Communications here will improve shortly. If you're interested, a convoy share will be 1/4 the escort cost, minus the Vata basic contract. 10,000.
10,000? What, you think I hold platinum or something? 8.
9, for you.
Done.
He probably would have gone to 10 if she pushed, but 9 was a big help, and his goodwill might be a bigger one.
In Vata accounts here?
On safe arrival.
Ah. Well, that's honorably done, Captain Vata. You'll want another 1 or 2, won't you?
You have someone to recommend?
Polly Tendall. Independent, fairly new. Broke off from Dylan 4 years ago. Seems a decent sort. Kind of rough around the edges.
Kai glanced at the Mackenzie list. Tendall was there, though not in the first 5.
All right. You want to contact her?
I can. Same terms?
Yes.
A half hour later, Kai had the rest of the convoy lined up. Harper's My Bess, Tendall's Lacewing, and Sindarin's Gold's Beauty of Bell. all the ships had passed muster with Mackenzie and, according to the transmissions from the station, all were in the process of clearing for departure. As the contract specified, Mackenzie had control of the convoy and thus the rendezvous point. Kai let them handle it. She spoke to Rafe before he transferred to the Gloucester, then tried not to hover over her engineering crew as they finished installing the new defensive suite. She could not resist loading the installation manual to her own workstation, where she could follow their progress without interfering. She caught herself yawning and remembered that many hours ago she had been wishing for time to take a nap before the Mackenzie officers came aboard.
Have I really been awake that long?
Another jaw-cracking yawn, and she decided that awake might not be the right term. She called down to engineering.
What now?
Sorry. Just letting you know I'll be in my cabin, hopefully asleep. You need a break, too.
I had one, and it's about time you did. I'll put anything new on your board.
Stella, when Kai came into her cabin, said the same thing.
And someone will call if they need you. You know that.
Yes, cousin.
Kai knew she should shower, but she was on the bed asleep before that thought ended.